This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good afternoon. This is Derek Haskins, Communications Director for the South Dakota Department of Health, and thank you for joining us for our daily COVID-19 case update briefing. And we'll start off today with Dr. Josh Clayton giving us a summary of today's cases, and then we'll have a brief statement from Secretary Malcolm Risden, and then we'll take your questions.
All right. Good morning. Today we're reporting 104 new cases of COVID-19 in the state. This does include 11 new hospitalizations. We do have one new death to report in a Minnehaha County resident. We have 13 new individuals who have recovered from COVID-19. 113. New individuals who have recovered from COVID-19. We have 527 new negative tests that have been performed. The totals are 1,858 COVID-19 cases in the state, 111 hospitalizations. We have a total of 9 deaths, 937 individuals who have recovered from COVID-19, and 11,588 total negative tests that have been performed. There is no update for the community impact map for today. The cases by county include 7 in Brown, 1 in Davison, 1 in Hughes, 5 in Lincoln, 87 in Minnehaha, and 3 in Turner. The age range of our cases, we have 7 individuals in the 0 to 19 year age category, 15 individuals in the 20 to 29 year age category, 23 in the 30 to 39 year age category, 25 in the 40 to 49 year age category, 17 in the 50 to 59 year age category, 11 in the 60 to 69 year age category, 5 in the 70 to 79 year age category, and 1 in the 80 year and older category. The sex of cases, of new cases, 63 who are male and 41 who are female. Again, the information is that we are also reporting that one new death in the Minnehaha County resident, which means that we now have 2 total deaths in Beadle County, 1 in McCook, 5 in Minnehaha, and 1 in Pennington County. That's my update.
Okay, in addition to that update, this is Kim Altham-Rice, and I just wanted to follow up on a question that was asked in the governor's press conference yesterday regarding positive employees of the ARCH in Sioux Falls. And so I just wanted to follow up with information around that. There have been 2 confirmed cases of employees at that employer. One is a Minnesota resident and would have been notified by the Minnesota Department of Health, and one is a South Dakota resident who was notified in a timely way by the South Dakota Department of Health.
All right, I'm going to unmute our lines, and we will take your questions. We'll take our first question.
Yes, JP at KOR and News Radio, good morning. I'm looking at your figures here on your website, and I notice a discrepancy between the chart view and the table view. I'm seeing the current case numbers today, and I'm seeing yesterday's on the other view. Is this something you're concerned about? This might confuse people if they're not consistent with each other?
JP, this is Derek Haskins. We push those updates live at the same time. The replication time can vary. And so once those two have rectified together is when we post our social media alert for the day. So, and that replication time may vary from person to person. So, what we have, in my view right now, what I'm looking at on my computer, both table views are consistent.
Thank you.
Beth Wharton from Dakota News Now.
Go ahead.
Yes. On April 11th, Governor Noem said that any employee concerned about being unsafe at the workplace due to possible social distancing concerns or not enough hand sanitization, that kind of thing, could contact the Department of Health anonymously. Last Friday, the Department of Health at the news conference stated that there would be help for employees available on the Department of Health website. I looked thoroughly through the web, also called the hotline, and was told that the hotline is not for that purpose. Did I miss something? Are there resources available for an employee concerned for their health at the workplace?
This is Kim Olson-Rice, and there are a number of resources on the website that are geared towards both employers and employees. We can maybe, Derek, could you follow up offline to share the link with the person?
Okay.
Right. I'm seeing a lot of resources for employers and have combed through it, and I'm not seeing anything for employees. So if it's there, it's okay. not accessible or readily accessible for people that would like to.
And can I get your name again?
Sure. It's Beth Wharton, and I'm with Dakota News Now.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question.
This is Stephen Groves from APE.
Stephen, go ahead.
So I was wondering if you could provide the company that's supplying the hydroxychloroquine supply for the trial and for statewide availability, and how much the state is putting towards that out of the budget.
Stephen, this is Kim Olson-Rice, and we're getting the hydroxychloroquine from the Strategic National Stockpile. I don't have the manufacturer of that, but that is the source of it for the state of South Dakota, and that is being provided to us without any cost.
Next question.
This is Lisa with the Argus Leader.
Go ahead, Lisa.
And just wondering if you can give us an update on the number of cases connected to Smithfield.
So we have 783 cases among Smithfield employees.
Okay. Are there any non-employees connected?
So we have individuals that are those close contacts of Smithfield employees that are now cases. We do have 206 individuals who meet that classification.
Okay.
Next question.
Naima Tasing, freelance, Elkton.
Go ahead.
Yes, two questions, thank you. One, we talked to the governor's office about being able to do zip codes instead of just the counties. Is that something that's being discussed? And something that has come up, me being African-American Muslim, in regards to the health issues that people are going through with this Smithfield article, are you going to be able to do something about that or work with some of the people that are working in those communities?
So this is Kim Olson-Rice. Regarding your first question about the level of data that we're able to provide, we are not able to provide it at the zip code level to ensure that the data doesn't lead to identification of individuals. And so it will continue to be provided at the county level. And again, with the way folks, you know, potentially travel for work and other essential reasons, we think that the county level is appropriate for any mitigation activities that communities need to take. I'm not sure about the article that you're referencing around Smithfield, but I can tell you that there is a number of things happening to make sure that people in Sioux Falls in particular are getting good information about COVID, getting information in languages that they need to be able to understand. There is a number of activities happening by groups such as LSS and the Multicultural Center to outreach and make sure that people have information and access to resources so that they can stay safe during this time.
Thank you for that. But this is more in the racist aspect of the article. It's the BuzzFeed article that is causing a few problems. Is there something that's going to be able to be done in regards to that being an uptick in the racism because of that? Thank you.
Well, I'm not familiar. Thank you for that. I'm not familiar with the BuzzFeed article that you're referencing, but you know, it's important that people, you know, treat others well. And these are, you know, there's no reason for anybody to be making racist comments about anything related to COVID. COVID is a disease that doesn't discriminate against who it impacts.
And this is Dr. Clayton. So one thing that I was going to mention is that, you know, it's important for people to understand that, you know, this is not, you know, an issue, you know, that's only a Smithfield thing. It's not, you know, a single nationality thing. I mean, this COVID-19 is something that is being experienced by all individuals, all races, all classes within our community and communities across South Dakota. You know, I would advocate that individuals, you know, think before they speak around, you know, some of the components that might be stigmatizing, that individuals do treat each other appropriately. You know, in this setting and in all settings across the state, we are trying to get through the COVID-19 pandemic together. So thank you for that comment.
Next question.
Yes, Beth Gordon with Dakota News Now. I had a question about what is the false negative rate for the test that you are using on the state level?
So I know that there's been some misconceptions around, you know, false positive and false negative testing. And under the FDA emergency use authorization, there's not a single, like, set number, you know, that is pushed out there for the PCR or for the molecular based testing that is being done. That is not part of FDA's overall approval process for these tests, but it is something that, you know, we do have to be aware of, and, you know, making sure that individuals, clinicians, I should say specifically, you know, who have a high index of suspicion, you know, based on not only a COVID-19 test, but also additional testing for their patients, you know, are keeping in mind both the positive and negative aspects of all respiratory panel testing, including COVID-19.
So what the other thing as serology testing becomes more and more available, there will continue to be a hard look at its effectiveness in actually detecting COVID and differentiating COVID, other seasonal coronaviruses, and other things that could be detected with those kinds of tests.
Are you utilizing the Abbott ID Now form of testing?
We've deployed the Abbott ID Now tests to 9 sites across the state. We have a few more machines to get out along with the testing cartridges that have been provided.
But as far
okay.
as it's the CDC reagents and testing protocol for PCR that is used at the state public health laboratory.
Okay, Sanford is reporting that the Abbott ID Now testing has reports of up to 50% false negatives. They are not using that method. Can you confirm you are using that method for part of your state testing?
So some of the issue that has been raised recently around the Abbott ID Now has been resolved with how specimens are processed. Not to get into the technical aspect, but, you know, there's no longer a requirement for the dilution of samples. It's a direct, you know, specimen into the testing apparatus as opposed to a need to put it into a sort of buffer solution as there had been previously. So that, according to Abbott, will resolve any testing inconsistencies.
And when was that changed?
I am not familiar with exactly what that date was, but I'm sure that is posted to the Abbott website.
Next question.
Adam St. Paul, Dakota Broadcasting. Don't know if you mentioned this right away, but Brown County has seen, I think, its largest spike so far with 7 confirmed cases today. Can you confirm or can you talk about whether or not any of those were connected to either the Demcota beef plants or molded fiberglass in town?
What we can say is that, you know, we work with individual businesses that, you know, have cases. We have mentioned before that we have worked with Demcota specifically. But, yeah, we are still in the process of investigating those cases. And, you know, we're continuing to monitor, you know, all facilities for and all businesses for clusters.
Real quick, you've mentioned before that you have you have a guesstimate as to or a model as to how many people will be infected in South Dakota. Do you have that broken down by county, how many you'll believe? Because it sounded like you had a whole population for the state. Do you have that broken down by county at all?
So, I mean, we have that initial and current planning guidance that we're using, which is 5,000 hospital beds that would be needed at peak. But, yeah, we have not provided estimates of infections anticipated by county. So, no, we don't have anything broken out by county.
Final question.
Todd Epp at Tele.com News in Sioux Falls.
Go ahead, Todd.
Thanks. I wanted to follow up on Beth Warden's question about the false positives. I recall a day or two ago, and I can't remember if it was the secretary or the governor saying that we were out of reagent and supplies for the Abbott ID test. So if we're getting false positives, when did we get the supplies to start using those tests again?
This is Kim Olson-Risen. I don't think we said we were out of the Abbott supplies. I think what we said is we needed more Abbott supplies so that those machines could remain active and be testing to their capacity. We did get another shipment of those supplies here within the last several days, and that's allowed us to deploy the remaining or plan to deploy the remaining machines this week. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
All right, thank you for joining us today. And we will talk to you again tomorrow.